From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm actually really excited about this show. Now, of course, I'm excited about all of our shows, but this one, I believe, is going to be one of our most impactful. Why? Because today we're talking about studying and living out the Word of God. Now, for some of you who may not be longtime listeners of Washington Watch, that may seem strange for a show called Washington Watch to be talking about the Bible. But, you know, I honestly couldn't watch Washington all these years if it were not through the lenses of Scripture. Because if that were not the case, I would be overcome with frustration, anger, discouragement, or all of the above. Now, we discuss a lot of important topics and issues on this show, and we talk about how you can make a difference by being both informed and involved. But nothing, and hear me on this, nothing is more important than spending time in the Word of God each day and seeking His direction for every aspect of your life. As we are more intentional and diligent in our understanding and obedience to Scripture, I believe we can change the world around us. So as we embark upon the year 2020, which, by the way, has been declared as the global year of the Bible, I'm going to talk with Harold Harper, FRC Senior Vice President, about FRC's two-year Bible reading plan, which we're launching January the 1st. So mark your calendars, go with us on this journey. We're also going to talk about advice for parents who want to take their family through God's Word. We'll also hear from Hobby Lobby President Steve Green about his new book, the beautiful book, An Exploration of the Bible's Incredible Storyline and Why It Matters Today. And in just a moment, to help us launch this conversation about delving into Scripture in 2020, Scott Lindsay will be joining us. He's Executive Director of Faith Life, the parent company of Logos Bible Software. So we're going to talk to him in just a moment. But first, let me remind you, the website, TonyPerkins.com, all the resources we're talking about today, you can find links under episode resources at TonyPerkins.com. And let me remind you, folks, those of you who would like to partner with the Family Research Council, you've got another day because we've got a generous challenge match that has been made by some supporters of FRC. And if you will make a donation in the next 24, 36 hours, it will be doubled. So go to TonyPerkins.com and you can make it online. Also, let me remind you, coming up in January on the 10th and the 11th in Baton Rouge, we're going to have our first of the year Stand Courageous Men's Conference. You can find out all about that at TonyPerkins.com. All right, to help us kick off this conversation about bringing the Bible front and center in 2020 is Scott Lindsay. He's Executive Director, as I said, of Faith Life, the parent company of Logos Bible Software. Scott is a nationally renowned expert on the future of digital Bible study and has been a conference presenter and trainer for over 20 years. Scott, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Scott, let me start by saying you have a great product in Logos Bible Software that aids laymen and leaders alike as it walks them through and gives them study tools for the Scripture. So great job there. But I want to hop right in to our topic and let you share with our listeners some phenomenal statistics from a recent study from the Center for Bible Engagement.
Yeah, very, very interesting study from the Center of Bible Engagement, where they surveyed about 400,000 people, quite a range of ages, you know, 8 to 80, I think 24 different countries, 75 denominations. They just wanted to see what it looks like, you know, all across the globe, what our engagement to Scripture looks like. And they discovered something that actually became kind of the highlight of the entire study, and they're calling it the Power of Four. And in essence, what they discovered was if we're in the Scripture one time a week, you know, that could be church on Sunday, you know, pastor says open your Bible, you do so, there's your one time a week. It had negligible effect on some key areas of life that I'll spell out here for a moment. 2 times a week, negligible effect. Now, 3 times a week, a little heartbeat, like something happened, not much, but there was a little blip. But the profound discovery was at 4 times a week, it literally spiked off the charts. You know, you would expect 1 time, 2 times, there'd be a gradual incline, you know, 1, 2, 3. But it was really 1, 2, 3, nearly nothing. But at 4 times, it spiked off the chart. Now, here's what I'm talking about with the effect of being in the scripture at least 4 times a week. Feeling lonely drops 30%. Anger issues drops 32%. Bitterness in relationships, so this is marriage, relationship to your kids, your coworkers, so on, drops 40%. Alcoholism dropped 57%. One of my the statistics that I love to shout from the rooftops when I teach at conferences is that feeling spiritually stagnant, which is such a voiced problem, if you will. You know, when I teach and talk to people, they're saying, "Hey, I just feel so distant from the Lord." That drops 60%, and then sexual issues, pornography, and so on, drops 62%. Now, on the positive side, what's interesting is sharing your faith jumps 200%, again, wow, when we're in the scripture at least 4 times. And then the last statistic, and to me most exciting, is that discipling others, so your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, that jumps 230%. But again, it's something that happens when we're in the scripture at least 4 times a week.
That's some powerful stuff. As I look through this study, it even points to the fact that lives of Christians who, you know, they go to church but they don't engage the Bible most days of the week are statistically the same as non-Christians. There's really no difference in their lives. So the Word is essential to living a vibrant, transformative Christian life.
Yeah, because it's the main mode in which God communicates to us. I mean, think about, I've been just celebrating my 28-year anniversary this Saturday. I have 9 children, 5 adopted, and I wonder what my relationship to my kids or my wife would be if I did not communicate with them, if I didn't hear what they have to say to me, and they didn't hear me speaking back to them. And these are truths we understand in the, you know, in the context of relationships, and yet we wonder why that wouldn't be the exact same thing,
right,
with our relationship with the Lord.
Right.
It puzzles me.
Like you said, you know, those that read the scripture 4 times a week or more, less likely to feel spiritually stagnant. So that's obviously an important statistic. Well, I mean, you think if somebody says, well, you know, I'm weak, I'm not feeling well, are you sick? No, I'm not sick, but I haven't eaten anything all week. I mean, we wouldn't be surprised by that. You know, someone being weak and not being vibrant, healthy physically, if they're not receiving nourishment. The same thing for the spiritual man. We've got to feed that spiritual man, and it's not enough just to hear it once or twice as we go to church. It's important that we as individuals engage in it. Now, Scott, what is your experience when you look at churches? Is there a correlation between the emphasis that a church puts, and I'm talking about a church, a local body of believers, is there a correlation between the emphasis they place on the scripture and how their congregants view it? I mean, if they spend a lot of time focused their message on the scripture, do the individual members pay more attention to the word in their own lives?
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the main criteria, you know, when I'm either traveling and, you know, or visiting a church, I want a high view of scripture. I want the pastor and the church as a whole to have a very high view of the scripture. And, you know, again, I've been doing this 20 years, probably have at least 1,000 conferences under my belt. One of the disturbing trends I see is the focus on eisegesis more than exegesis. Not to get too technical, but eisegesis, as you know, is when we read into the text. So we're literally trying to find scripture that kind of agrees with an opinion we already have.
Right.
And yet exegesis is where we submit ourselves to the authority of the scripture and allow and submit ourselves to its authority. So we're willing to make those changes of opinion and viewpoints because Scripture says what it says.
Right. Not to get off too much into this, but what I have found, and I travel probably not as much as you do into churches, but I'm in different churches, speaking in different churches, working with pastors across the country. We've got about 15,000 in our network of churches. I find that those churches that systematically go through Scripture and teach it, it tend to be stronger, more engaged, and quite frankly, larger. Because people, I think today, despite all the noise we hear out there and the hostility that's often displayed toward biblical truth, I think people are looking for it.
They are, because I've seen this trend the last 10 years where just the method of church and the way the worship order is set. I mean, we're trying to compete with Hollywood, and yet. That for one, that's a battle that I don't think we win. Hollywood's got my and it doesn't satisfy my soul. What satisfies my soul, what penetrates my heart, which changes my marriage and me as a father and a coworker, is the truth of Scripture.
Yes.
I want the truth of Scripture to be revealed. And yet it's kind of hard today to find a church that's the priority, not to compete with media and Hollywood and all that, but to rightly divide the word of truth and to declare the Scripture.
You know, that's a really good point. It reminded me of a conversation I had with a good friend of mine who's a pastor who has a lot of people from the entertainment industry come to his church. And this man got saved a few years ago in his church, and he became friends with the pastor, and he said, "Look, let me just tell you, Pastor." He said, "You know, I know you try to put on a good show with the music and everything." He said, "But you guys, you're trying to be like us, and you're doing a bad job of it. And two, if we wanted more of who we were, we wouldn't come to see you."
And exactly.
We need to be who we are in Christ.
Yes, yes. And I think people want a break from our crazy, plugged-in, lives. Here's another little stat I want to throw out, because, again, I have 9 children, actually 5 teens living in my house. Please add me to your prayer journal. But Barna just put out a stat where the typical age between 15 to 25 years old in 1 year spends almost 2,800 hours in screen media.
Mm-hmm.
So that is on their phone, on their iPad. Now, taking in spiritual content, if they're a churchgoer, it's 291 hours in a year. And if they're non-churchgoers, it's 150 hours in a year. And
wow.
Almost 2,800 hours in social media.
That.
So we don't even know as a church, what we believe anymore, because we have our nose in so many other things.
Distraction. It's a distraction.
Distraction.
That music, I was going to say noise, that's music. That means we're out of time, Scott, but I've enjoyed our conversation. In fact, I was just thinking, 9 children. I have 5. I feel like a sloth. Scott, thanks so much for joining us. And again, appreciate the great work you do at Logos.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right. Scott Lindsay. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, we continue our conversation with Steve Green. He has a new book out, and we're going to be talking to him about that next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
A strong case can now be made that China has become one of the most totalitarian states in human history. The Chinese Communist Party restricts religious practice and oppresses religious minorities on a sweeping scale, targeting those of every faith, especially Christians, Muslims, Tibetan Buddhists, and Falun Gong. The Chinese Communist Party's movement against religion has had and continues to have devastating consequences for those who simply wish to live according to their conscience. The Chinese Communist Party's consistent abuses of human rights prove that it cannot be treated just like any other country. The United States must address these human rights and religious freedom violations in their trade and diplomatic dealings with China. For more information about the human rights crisis in China, visit frc.org/China. That's frc.org/China.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council and host of Washington Watch. I invite you to join our family and thousands of others across the country in standing on the Word of God as we go into 2020, the global year of the Bible, by joining in a 2-year family chronological Bible reading plan. I can assure you that your family will be powerfully impacted by reading God's Word and growing in the understanding of His truth together. The readings take only 15 to 20 minutes a day, with Sundays set aside for a family or small group discussion. To join us, simply go to TonyPerkins.com and click on Stand on the Word with FRC. That's TonyPerkins.com, or call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Let's stand together on the Word of God and change the world, beginning in our own home.
In the U.S., the rate of chemical abortions is at an all-time high. This rapid increase is being driven by the abortion industry, which wants abortion pills available through the pharmacy in the mail, making do-it-yourself abortions the future of the abortion industry. Abortion advocates once claimed that legal abortion would prevent back-alley abortions, but now they want to place the burden of inducing abortions completely on women, despite the fact that the health complications that often result from an induced chemical abortion are eerily similar to those of back-alley abortions. They include severe bleeding, infection, retained fetal parts, the need for emergency surgery, and even death. With all the documented dangers of abortion drugs, it is clear that the abortion industry's goals are political, ideological, and financial, not the well-being of women. For more information about the dangers of chemical abortions, visit frc.org/chemicalabortion. That's frc.org/chemicalabortion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you along with us for a special program, a special edition of Washington Watch, as we are focusing on the Bible, living out and studying the Word of God. I'm going to talk more about it here in a moment, the Bible reading plan that we're going to do throughout FRC, our supporters and folks across the country, a 2-year Bible reading plan. We're going to talk about that a little bit later with Harold Harper. But now I'm glad to welcome to the program a true advocate for the Bible. Steve Green is the president of Hobby Lobby and chairman of the board of the Museum of the Bible here in Washington, D.C., which if you've not been to, you need to come and see. It's a remarkable, remarkable museum. In his role as chairman, Steve has assembled a team of academics, designers, technology professionals, and other experts to create a 430,000-square-foot museum of the Bible, dedicated to a scholarly and engaging presentation of the Bible's impact, its history, and narrative. And Steve himself has authored several books, Faith in America, The Bible in America, This Dangerous Book, and most recently, this beautiful, beautiful book. Steve, thanks for joining us today.
You bet, Tony. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we jump into this interview and discussion about the book and the Bible in general, I want to say that many of us on the FRC team have been praying for your little granddaughter, who was recently adopted from China, and she's been having some health issues. Share with our listeners. Give us an update.
Yeah, she came home 39 days later. They determined they found a tumor on her liver that was cancerous. She's had surgery and is in the middle of some chemo treatments right now, which kind of knock her for a loop. But the prognosis is once she gets through that it looks very good, and we're praying for her health, ongoing treatment. And we've seen God's hand in her whole life journey so far, and we know God is with my daughter and her child and my son-in-law, but we appreciate the prayers that we have been hearing from people all over the country and are grateful for them.
Well, tell Lauren and Michael that we'll continue to lift them up and their little baby girl in our prayers.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Now, the Museum of the Bible here in Washington, D.C. has been open for just over, I guess, a little over 2 years now. And I know your heart is to bring attention to arguably the most important book in the world and create a dynamic experience for folks to engage in. Share with our listeners how you've seen God at work through this museum.
Well, I think that we see just time and time again how that as people come in, they're really blown away by the facility, one, but then the book story. There are people that just don't know this book story, and we are wanting to inspire them in three ways, as you indicated: its history, its impact, and its narrative. The evidence for this book is pretty overwhelming, and we're not pushing an agenda. We just want people to understand the evidence for it and let them come to their own conclusion. And its impact, it's impacted every area of life in ways that the average person really doesn't have a clue to the degree that it's impacted their life, and yet it has. And then for many, they don't know the story at all, or they may know parts and pieces of it, and the narrative floor is to educate people on just what this book's story is. It's a combination of many books put together that make a storyline that goes through all of those books, which in itself is an incredible part of this book's story.
Well, we were discussing before we went on the air about the Bible continues to be the best-selling book every year. And despite the fact that it is the most popular book, most cultural shaping text in the history of the world, the Bible still remains to be one of the most, I guess, one of the least understood books of all time. And you tackle this in your new book, The Beautiful Book. Why is it that the Bible is so misunderstood?
Well, I was at an event in New York City with Tim Keller, where some journalists from some of the leading outfits there in New York City were at, and one of them made a comment. He said, "There are people in my office that don't know what the Easter story is all about." And I have to scratch my head. These are adults, and they don't know what the Easter story is. I think in our culture today, we probably know this book less than we ever have. And I would say and argue because we don't teach it in our schools as we once did.
Right.
And there is a need to reintroduce this book, in my mind, to our culture. What is this book? And there are those that are out there saying it's something much different than what it claims to be. There's a leading atheist that says the God of the Bible is a genocidal maniac. Well, that may be his interpretation, but that's not what the Bible says. I'm here, and I'm interested in letting people know, well, here's what this book's story is, and let's be true to the story. This story says that the God of the Bible is a loving, creating God that came and died that we might have life. And so we need to know this book's story because we know it less today than we have, I think, in the history of our nation.
And it's important with a nation that is built upon the principles contained in the Scripture to have some understanding of that Scripture. You know, and I know that we've seen in the, well, in my time in public policy, I know I was involved in bringing it into the public schools in Louisiana when I was in the legislature as a study of literature, just because of the impact it's had, even on our conversation and the terms that we use. And you really cannot understand America without some understanding of Scripture.
And it really doesn't make sense for us not to teach this book in our schools because it is foundational to our government. The simple idea that all men are created equal, that is foundational to our nation, is a biblical concept. That's where our founders got it. And so much of our nation is built on that, the structure of our government with the three branches and our judiciary. There's so much of our nation that we can attribute to the Bible. And for us not to know it, not to understand the root of the principles our nation was built on, just doesn't make sense. And there is a great need for us to re-educate America on this book.
Steve, we're up against the break. If you'll stick around, I've got some more questions for you. I actually want to I want to find out, because I know there's something in there. Anytime you open the pages of Scripture and you study it, as you were working to write this book, I know there had to be an experience of drawing you deeper into the truth of God. So we're going to talk about that next. Folks, don't go away. Steve Green, my guest. We're going to continue our conversation on the other side of this break. What other trips to Israel can you take that combines walking where Jesus walked with meeting today's Israeli leaders? This is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to spend an incredible and life-changing 9 days in Israel with me, General Jerry Boykin, and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from June the 2nd through the 12th. We'll stand in the ancient ruins of synagogues where Jesus preached, worship on the Sea of Galilee, walk the streets of Jerusalem, stand on the Mount of Olives, and have communion at the Garden Tomb. You'll meet Israeli leaders who will share about Israel's intelligence and defense systems and brief you on foreign policy. As one of our former travelers said, quote, the worship, spiritual, and geopolitical understanding that FRC contributes to the trip makes it an experience not to be missed. So join us June the 2nd through the 12th for this unique experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
Can a Facebook post or a tweet or an Instagram picture change a person's mind? At Family Research Council's 15th annual Pro-LifeCon Digital Action Summit, pro-life activists from around the country will gather to explore the impact that digital media has on the culture's view of human life. Join us via live webcast from Washington, D.C., the morning of Friday, January 24th. At this year's conference, you will hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, and activists who will share how they view social media and other digital tools to further the pro-life message. You'll be educated and empowered to better reach your own communities by learning best practices from those who are at the cutting edge of the digital pro-life movement. With this innovative information, anyone can make an impact for the pro-life movement, anytime, anywhere. Tune in Friday, January 24th at 8 a.m. at ProLifeCon.com. Again, visit ProLifeCon.com for more information.
I'm Tony Perkins, and you are listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. So glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Let me remind you that we've got supporters that have put forth a generous challenge match that will double anything that you give between now and midnight, December 31st. So if you would like to partner with us to ensure that Washington Watch continues and that faith, family, and freedom remains defended here in our nation's capital, then go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, joining me now, Steve Green, president of Hobby Lobby and chairman of the board for the Museum of the Bible here in Washington, D.C., but also an author, and he has a new book out, this beautiful book. Steve, thanks for sticking around and joining us for another segment. I want to ask you this because I know, I mean, anytime you open the Bible and you read it and you study it, it has an impact. You see something new every time that you read it, even if you've read it hundreds of times. Was there anything in writing this book that drew you personally deeper into the Scripture that you just said, wow, I didn't see that before?
I think that the how clear it was becoming to me that this whole book points to an event.
Mm-hmm.
There is one event that this whole book points to, and that one event is ultimately the event of all of history. And that is what Christ did for us on the cross. He came to pay the price that our relationship would be restored. Were it not for that event, we really have no hope in this life. We have no hope to be restored. The relationship that was lost, and therefore it becomes hard to argue that what Hitler did was wrong.
Right.
But because of that event, we have hope. And just the clarity of how that this whole book, from beginning to end, is hinged and it pivots on that event. From Genesis chapter 3 throughout, it's pointing to it, and because of it, we have an eternal future, an eternal history. that without it we would not have. So it just was one of those that just became clear as I'm writing this book that that is the event of all of history.
I know, Steve, you're very close to this, but that may be the reason I should ask you this question. You know, sometimes we're so close to something we can't see the broader picture, but I think as you are so close to this issue of the Bible, I think, and I want your opinion on this, that we're seeing kind of a revival, if you will, of an understanding or desire for the Scripture. I mean, the fact that we've got a museum here in our nation's capital now dedicated to teaching people, showing people the Bible. There's so much being done through technology. I'm frankly quite excited about what we might be on the verge of.
I can't agree more. There are times that, you know, through this whole venture of putting the Bible Museum together, you see glimpses of things that God is doing, not only here but around the world, and you just say, God seems to be up to something. There's a space in our museum called Illuminations where it shares how that the Bible societies have been coming together to try to finalize the translation of the Bible into every language of the world. And that story in itself is one of those that gives me that indication. It used to be, you know, over 100 years before they thought it would be done. But because of their collaboration, the target date today is the year 2033. In many of our lifetimes, something could happen that's never happened in the history of the world, a book in every language of the world. That's an incredible thought to think that something that's never happened before could happen, and we could see it happen. And it just is an indication that, God, you're up to something in our day. And I don't know what all that means, but it's exciting to think of what God is up to.
It really is. And despite all of the noise, the conflict, if you will, the opposition, look, the Word of God is going forth. I mean, I see this so clearly here in Washington, D.C. It's kind of the parable that Jesus told of the wheat and the tares. Yes, there's a backdrop of evil, but we shouldn't get distracted by focusing solely on that, because there's so much good, so much opportunity to share the gospel that's before us right now.
I think there's an openness to it. I think that as people understand this incredible book, how incredible the story it is, that there's a receptiveness to it, and we should be out telling this book story and sharing it with as many people as we can, because I think that people are open to hearing what it says.
Well, I know where folks can get a copy of the good book, but where can they get a copy of your book?
You can go to Hobby Lobby, obviously, and get it there, or wherever a person goes to get their books, obviously Amazon and other sources. So we encourage people to go out and get a book. It's a great book to start the new year, because it really just summarizes the Bible story, and it's a good way to help to make some of the smaller stories make sense, is when you understand the overall story that this book says.
Well, the beautiful book, this beautiful book is the name of it. And in fact, if you just go to TonyPerkins.com, we've got links over where you can get a copy of it as well. Steve, as always, great to talk with you, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us on Washington Watch.
You bet. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
All right. Keep up the good work. Scott Green, Steve Green, thinking of musicians there. Pick up a copy of the book, this beautiful book. Go to TonyPerkins.com. We've got links there, or, as he said, go by Hobby Lobby and get a copy of the book as well. All right, when we come back, we continue our conversation about the Bible and the two-year Through the Bible reading program that FRC is encouraging folks to do. We're going to be doing it. Would you like to join us? Harold Harper joins me next for that conversation. Don't go away. Ever hear the term toxic masculinity? Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. Masculinity is under attack in our culture. The American Psychological Association released guidelines declaring traditional masculinity ideology as harmful. Brown University, an Ivy League school, offered a course, Unlearning Toxic Masculinity, explaining that rigid definitions of masculinity are toxic to men's health. In a University of Texas class, Masculine UT treated masculinity as if it were a mental health crisis. Thankfully, the culture does not have the last word on true masculinity. God does. Our Stand Courageous Men's conferences offer biblical solutions to the crisis of manhood. We seek to help men develop character, cultivate habits, build relationships, and make commitments that will move them closer to God's design. Check out StandCourageous.com for an event in your area. That's StandCourageous.com.
Do you know of one person who knows absolutely everything? No? Me neither. And so, if we don't know everything, we all need to be lectured sometimes. Or at least, we all could benefit from tuning into a lecture now and then. Well, Family Research Council has just the thing. A new weekly podcast called Lecture Me, created to help inform and equip listeners on the biggest issues affecting our culture today. Each episode presents a lecture selected from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast podium features today's top thinkers who take on tough issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture, all from a biblical worldview. Make sure to stick around after each lecture as we break down the content and discuss these topics further. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council and host of Washington Watch. I invite you to join our family and thousands of others across the country in standing on the Word of God as we go into 2020, the global year of the Bible, by joining in a 2-year family chronological Bible reading plan. I can assure you that your family will be powerfully impacted by reading God's Word and growing in the understanding of His truth together. The readings take only 15 to 20 minutes a day, with Sundays set aside for a family or small group discussion. To join us, simply go to TonyPerkins.com and click on Stand on the Word with FRC. That's TonyPerkins.com, or call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Let's stand together on the Word of God and change the world, beginning in our own home. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you along for this special edition of Washington Watch. Let me remind you, as we approach the end of the year, well, the end of the year is coming. The battle for America's future is far from over. And let me ask you to consider partnering with FRC so that we can continue to make a difference together in 2020. And when you give, when you partner with us before December 31st, your gift will be doubled thanks to a generous year-end challenge match. So help us advance faith, family, and freedom for the sake of America. Go to TonyPerkins.com and make your donation there. By the way, there's lots of resources today at the website, TonyPerkins.com. Logos has a free Bible software program. We've got links there for that. Also links for Steve Green's book, where you can get that online as well. So go to TonyPerkins.com to find out more about all of that. Well, I hope you've been encouraged by listening to what I think is a great discussion today about the benefits of engaging with the Bible. If you missed the first part of the program with Scott Lindsay of Logos Bible Software, and you need to go back and listen. It's archived here. You can listen to it later. It's really important to get the underpinnings of this conversation that we're having. So go back and listen to that later tonight. But now I want to tie a bow on this conversation by bringing in FRC Senior Vice President Harold Harper. Harold is a powerful man of God, believes in prayer. We are enormously blessed to have him here at the Family Research Council. He is a humble yet strong spiritual leader for our team, and is invested in the discipleship and growth of everyone that God places on assignment here at FRC. Before moving to Washington, D.C. 2 years ago, Harold was the executive pastor of a church in Georgia, and prior to that, served in leadership at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission in Nashville. He and his wife, Donna, have 3 children, 2 grown and 1 still at home. They all love the Lord, follow the Lord, serve the Lord, so I'm anxious to talk to him about how he and his wife helped and still help their kids engage with Scripture. Harold, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
Well, let's, you know, we're going into 2020, new year. Everybody's thinking about, New Year's resolutions. How do I start off to make this year better than last year? Frankly, I can't think of a better way to start off the year if it's not already a part of your daily activities is to read the Bible both as an individual and collectively as a family.
Well, amen. And I'm appreciative of, we've never read the Bible through as a family. I think, raising kids, the one-year Bible read was a little much for my little ones. And then as the older one gets old enough to do it, the others lag behind. So I'm really excited about this two-year Bible plan that we're launching here at FRC, and I appreciate your commitment and modeling that already, as you did that last year with your family. And so I've just been encouraged to hear how it's impacted you and your family and your kids, and so much so that so many others who hear about it want to go through it as well. And so I'm looking forward to that. That's a good challenge for us as a family. We're gonna attempt to get through it. I've got an 11-year-old. We'll see how he holds on. But what a great challenge, for us to do this, because I know the importance of getting God's Word in the hands and in the minds of my children.
Well, a lot of people do the 1 year through the Bible, and frankly, that's a lot to bite off, especially as a family. I mean, it can take a lot of time, but that's why the two-year Bible, for those of us it takes 90 minutes to watch 60 minutes, this is a better plan. And so it's 15, 20 minutes max of Bible reading. Now, put that in perspective. If you watch television, I confess I don't watch television, don't have television, and would strongly encourage other people to turn the TV off. There's nothing redemptive coming out of
it. You don't have time to watch television.
I don't have time to watch anyway. So we're not talking about – we're talking about half of a television program to read the passage of Scripture. But the power was in doing it as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a couple of years we've done that to where we've read through it together. These daily discussion questions that I would send – my kids. And, every family is a little different, and this is made up to be flexible for the family. Sometimes some families have the ability, and I pray that more try to sit around the dinner table at night, and that's a great place to put out these questions, just discussion questions. Personally, my travel schedule is such that, I text them out every morning to my kids, so they wake up to the morning to the reminder of the Bible reading and the questions. And then on Sundays, we have a discipleship time where we just kind of spend a couple of hours, hour and a half. And that's been one of the most encouraging things for me as a father is to watch over this period that we've been doing this, to watch my children grow in not only their understanding of the Scripture, but their application of the Scripture and how it applies to the world in which we live.
Well, one thing that encourages me is here you are a dad, but you're traveling all over the world, and yet you're if you can do this with your pace, still, and the beauty of texting your kids, I think it's a great idea. I've never really thought about that for my little guy. I love how you're making it work and how you basically adapted a plan that fits your family and fits your children. And I think that's what God commands us to do. We're supposed to get the Word into them. We're supposed to talk about it every chance we can. And for those who are traveling, this is a great way to do that. And then for those of us who do get one or two meals around the table, it's a great thing to center your conversation around, because you could put that on the table and as a reminder, and talk about the reading of the day. I think in our home, we all are going at different schedules. And but we try to assemble around the table in the evening, and then our older children, we certainly talk to them every day, so that helps.
To the point you made earlier, what I have found is I've got from 28 to 12.
Yeah.
That, and of course, when we started this, it was 26 to 10. But you know how the Bible is. It speaks to you at where you are. And so for some, there's a little deeper understanding that comes in. But what the beauty of this is, we go around once a week, and that's allotted for in this study. It's 6 days of reading. The seventh day, or the Sunday, is a discussion time, discipleship time. And by the way, folks, this is all you can get this, a link to it at tonyperkins.com, and you can download it. You can sign up to get the questions texted to you or emailed to you. You can use them, make up your own, doesn't matter. This is just a resource for you. But as we go around the table on Sunday afternoons, we start with the youngest, go to the oldest, and just say, you know, what did you see this week? What did you discover in the Scripture? What spoke to you? But the beauty of this is that the younger ones listen to the older ones, and yeah, they get the benefit of that journey and that discussion. And again, it's just been, as a father, it's been one of the most rewarding experiences, just to watch my kids grow in their understanding of the Scripture, their application of the Scripture, and their love for the Scripture. Now, they're all on a journey. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not all at the same place, and right, some need a little more prodding than others. But here's the beauty of it. You put it before them, encourage them in it. Don't prod them too hard,
right?
But you'll find that they come along. They'll want to be a part of the conversation.
You're modeling it. You know, I noticed that when I'm home, like on a Saturday morning, I'm still in the house. I haven't left for work to catch the train to come into D.C. So I noticed that my youngest sees me studying the Word, and he goes and gets his Bible because I'm modeling it. He's seeing it being done, and so that's important.
Yes.
And we know that children are really a blessing from the Lord. We know that from Psalms, and we are instructed. I mean, the future is dependent upon us passing on to the next generation, and I think they are our nation's greatest resource, our family and our children, the next generation. You know, we read through the Scripture where there were generations that were not brought up in the Word, and
right,
and look at where we are today. If this doesn't happen, and talk about, you know, just our morning briefing meetings every morning just really get me down sometime, because we get you get a full report every morning about what's happening in the culture. And to think about raising children in our culture today without the Word of God is a scary, scary thing.
You know, you said something that's extremely important, and it reminded me of two things. One, coming up January the 10th and the 11th in Baton Rouge, both of our home cities. You're originally from Baton Rouge. We have our Stand Courageous Conference, first one of the year at Jefferson Baptist. And this is a challenge to men to be the spiritual leaders of their home, to display true masculinity, which is different than what the world thinks. But it's been under attack. And this is going to be a great event. General Boykin will be there. I'll be there. We'll have several speakers that will be a part of this. Pastor David Goza will be one of our speakers. Mark Sturmer, one of our close friend of mine, pastor there in Baton Rouge, will be one of our speakers. Bishop Larry Jackson from North Carolina, former Promise Keepers speaker, he'll be there. So go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and you can register now. But hurry up, sign up before it's too late. Men have to not say, all right, do this. Men have to do it and say, follow me.
Yeah. We have to be the examples, you know, and I think, you know, many dads, I love working with young dads, because when I became, you know, a young dad, I was scared to death. And I went to my mentor. I was scared to death because we found out we were having a little boy. And my story is I was a prodigal growing up, meaning I was not walking with the Lord. And so for me to think about raising a little boy based on all my baggage, plus I had the voice of my mom in my ear saying, just wait till you have kids, you know. But I remember having a conversation with Jack and said, look, I'm going to screw up this kid. And he said, yes, you are, unless you get on your face before God and you become a man of God. And I said, well, that's a tall order. And he said, well, you're going to be the only Jesus that he sees. You know, and I think in today's culture, men get caught up in the wrong thing of what they're teaching their children. They want their children to be successful. But, you know, one day our kids are going to stand before God. And God is not going to be interested in their GPA or their batting average or whether they played college ball or what university they went to. They're going to have to stand and give an account. And right. What are they going to say? They're going to say, look, I was number one and I was first chair in the band. Or, you know, I think our many men have just lost sight of what their responsibility is. It's clear in Deuteronomy what our role is. The most important thing we can do for our kids is to teach them the Word of God and to teach them how to live a godly life.
Yeah, we were talking about that at the beginning of the program with Scott about how churches that put a high priority on the Scripture, they have a high view of Scripture, that it often translates into a high view of the families in that church. And you know, I certainly encourage people to be in a church that focuses on the Scripture, that is scripturally centered and focused, but then replicate it in your own family.
Mm-hmm.
And if the dad is not focused on Scripture, thinking, well, that's a mom's
right.
job, I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. It's not the mom's job. I'm grateful for godly women who pray and get their husbands in line by praying. But this is a man's job. In fact, that's part of the Stand Courageous Conference. We unpack this, that being a spiritual leader is not the work of a woman. It is the work of a true biblical man, because it requires you doing battle, spiritual battle, for your children, for your wife, for your church, and for your community.
I think I've heard you in general talk about this, because many men in America today can defend their family from physical harm. They have weapons. They have everything. They know how to defend their home turf. But what about the spiritual battle? And you talk a lot about this out of Ephesians, that it's not time to mess around. You know, the same if we just as men applied the same preparation.
Right.
You know, we teach our kids. I mean, many dads take their kids to hunt. They teach them how to use a firearm. Many even teach them how to serve, and many go in the military and fight for our country. But do they know how to do spiritual battle?
Well, those same principles apply to the spiritual battles that we're in. And, you know, we would never let someone – we wouldn't leave our door unlocked mm-hmm. and just allow someone to walk in and pillage through our home and threaten our children. But that's what's happening spiritually. We have not locked the door. We have not stood there in defense. We are not standing as men between our children and the devil, who walks around as a roaring lion,
right.
seeking whom he may devour. And it's time for men to step forward, and it begins. It begins with the foundational understanding of the importance of Scripture.
Well, and I'm not saying that any of the other things are bad. I mean, I think it's good for kids to be involved in athletics and to certainly do well in school. But we're focusing our main attention on the wrong thing. Many men
right.
are, anyway, in our society today.
Harold, we got to leave it there. But, folks, if you're in Baton Rouge, men, you can hear the rest of Harold's message if you come to the Stand Courageous Conference. Find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to advance faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.